So how about this second round of the playoffs, Brian?
What are you doing?
I'm eating a sandwich. I'm hoping that we now know Dan's gonna watch this for sure, right? I know I'm not a Japanese man, but we can hope that his fetish for men eating sandwiches extends to all men, right?
His fetish for man eating sandwiches is not the same as his fetish for men eating sandwiches.
Maybe they'll play this video to Ron McGill. I'm a man eating a sandwich, and Dan is going to want to show him this. You never know.
Okay, as long as you understand that you're not a man eating sandwich.
That's true, yeah.
Because that is there at least Japanese mayo on the sandwich?
Dijon.
That's not a mayo.
Oh, it's a mustard. Sorry. That's all I got on here is Dijon mustard, baby.
Oh man, you're eating a beach sandwich.
I made it quick. Wasn't speaking of quick, let's get to it. What up, you fan Levitardians? Nasty Nate here, and Cousin B. The only.
Year.
Are we now? Do a little shutdown full cast here. The internet's only Dan Levitard Show fan YouTube podcast.
What?
I don't know.
Breaking
Could
news alert.
be.
Breaking news alert. Tell me what happened?
You the real heads know, Brian. I'm just going off of shutdown full cast, how they say the internet's only college football podcast. But are we the internet's only Dan Le Batard Show fan YouTube channel and podcast? You never know.
You never know.
Here we are on the ones and twos. We're ready to go, folks. Here we are back to back, week to week. Kids are healthy, sports are happening. We got things to talk about. And ladies and gentlemen, the Levitard Show is they're doing a lot, Brian. Are they not?
They are doing a lot. We're finally, I think, seeing this company run the way that they envisioned it, the way that we envisioned it. You mentioned that they're doing a lot. You're dressed like, I don't know, you just spent all night maybe covering a draft, like they did with all the hours of content they gave us. They got the cheap seats where they just did the live streaming of the Knicks game with Stack and Matt Barnes. They got the alley-oop with Juju whenever they decide to, I guess, do it. There's just so much content coming from the pirate ship right now. I'm excited. I'm happy to see it. Out of everything that you've been seeing them do recently, what has stuck with you the most as of late? In between the bites of your Dijon-covered sandwich.
Yeah, if I started, I'm going to finish it, folks. That's how I be. Well, I'd say, oh man, that's such a good question, Brian. Honestly, I've loved the more live content. The cheap seats really stuck out to me. I thought the draft coverage was good, but why I would say cheap seats stands out to me just that little bit more was the addition of seeing Matt Barnes and Stack interact with the show for such a long time. I thought, like, over time, you started to see them get looser and looser with the show. They gave some great insights and stories. Like, you can see why they added these guys to Meadowlark as a partnership because Amin has a relationship with them. Like, you could see Amin knew how to bring out good content from Stack. And so their stories were great, even though I'm a Raptors fan and there's a special place in my heart for Spicy P and our championship team. I did find it funny the way that Steven Jackson just obliterated Pascal Siakam. So I thought that whole thing of just them putting in the extra time and work and what came out of it, the jingle as well. I loved Yeti's jingle. I thought it really added to the night because it gave something that they could automatically cut to and, like, have kind of like a joke there. They took a couple voicemails from callers. You got the bit of Stu Gatz also jumping in. So there was a lot of things that was happening in there that, as a fan of the show, I was really enjoying that they were doing. And I thought it was really well done.
You have to realize, as a fan of this show, that this show isn't just a show where you can plug anyone in and you have immediate fireworks. There's people who are on this show who are employed by MetalArk who every day can't bring us the same fireworks that we're accustomed to. I'm not calling no one out. I'm not saying any names. I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. All I'm saying is, for people to have such a privileged response to Matt Barnes and Stack when they interact with the show and have this idea that it's not working for me. Guys, it's new. You don't understand. I don't know if you've ever watched All the Smoke. I've watched All the Smoke a bunch. It's a different vibe entirely. Mm-hmm. The show, the people. One thing I noticed is as the night drew on, not unlike it. Eyebrows with mascara. Come on, Cody. Really? Mascara goes on your eyelashes. Yeah. I digress. You noticed other people in the shipping container feeling familiar with them, because every time, and I get it, guys, it's Stack, it's Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes, notoriously known for fighting everybody. Stack, notoriously known for fighting anybody. I get, and we know this. I can say it because I'm black.
Go ahead, you say it, Brian. I won't. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Cousin B. Everybody, listen, Nasty Nate. Listen.
The shipping container, they act a little bit different when someone who
in what way, Brian?
If someone comes on the show and they're outwardly projecting just straight up black culture, they're a little bit guarded in a sense. Not guarded that they're you know, afraid, or that you can see that there's a bit of unfamiliarity with how maybe jokes might be taken, how things might be said or kind of interpreted. And when you saw some of that peel away, when like Chris Cody was like, you know what, I don't have nothing to worry about with these guys, they get it. Mm-hmm. Right. And once you see that, you really start seeing the good meshing. And to your point, this is it. This is how this should look. So I hope we see way more of those guys on the show in Miami, because I think that did wonders. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a huge fan of what they're doing over there. You know, I think Dan and also Stu have to realize that they have to tap into that young exuberance that you need when starting a company. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of a fledgling startup vibe, kind of like cocaine fueled energy, where you got to do everything. You got to do everything and you got to be everywhere. Stop handing it off to person X, person B, person Y. That wouldn't have worked if Dan and Stu weren't there. That's not true. A throw this to Tony and Juju and Mike Ryan and let it go. No, you need to be there. And unfortunately, I think those guys are realizing they need to be there for more of these types of things to kind of send them on their way.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts was seeing how much Stu's top five list of NBA players that connote marijuana, like how much of a laugh it got out of Barnes and Stephen Jackson, and then how they kept like interacting with that and like adding to the list, so much so that, like, you know, the next day Stu's dropping another list as well the same day. So I thought it was great. I look forward to more of the live coverage that they're doing. So really enjoyable. And I'm just excited that the show continues to do more and more stuff.
I will say this going forward, guys, this is like my fifth time I made the suggestion, eighth time on this show.
Sounds right. Anywho, way back in like episode 98.
There you go. When you're having content that is being simulcasted with live events, I promise, I'm sorry, video team, I am sorry, but you need to put a game clock on the screen somewhere.
Ooh.
Because The TV's in the studio itself. I've been to the Elser studio. I've been there. I've walked around. I've seen some things. I don't want the TDOs. The TVs themselves aren't even in sync in the studio, let alone across the world. So get some sort of game clock transposed so we know where you guys are at in the process, so we're not kind of out sync, because you don't want sports ruined. That shot by Dante DiVincenzo to seal that game, I didn't care about the game at all, but to someone that could be something. So just put up a clock in the corner just so that we know what's going on. That's it.
That's a great point, Brian, because even in my own house, like you're saying, I put the game on my phone, it's on the TV for whatever reason. Sometimes that happens, people. Whatever, but you notice, hey, my phone's ahead of the TV, like, you know. So great suggestion. Problem. Put that clock on here. And you know, speaking of clocks, we need to circle back.
Oh, you said clock. Okay.
To when some NFL teams were on the clock, Brian, and we need to cover this in the only way that this show can, and that's NFL draft coverage. So let me fire up this here music, Brian, which you should be able to hear this time. And remember, we gotta be fast. So here we go, Brian. The first team on the clock is the Chicago Bears.
Thank you for turning on original sound. I love what they did. They got a franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams. They got a franchise wide receiver in Romeo Odunze. I love everything they did. They got a three-headed monster. They also got homeboy that they got from Keenan Allen. They got DJ Moore. I'm ready to see what happens in Chicago. Bring the Chicago Bears back, baby.
I'm going to go with... They did way too much. You're Chicago. There's some way they're going to screw this up, Brian, because I'm looking at it and I can't find and think of a way of how they could screw it up, because they did such a good job. But now that's why I know they're going to screw it up. Next up, the Dallas Cowboys, Brian.
The Cowboys did what they needed to do. Not what the fans wanted them to do, but what they needed to do. They're starting to rebuild that line to get them back to the heyday of the mid-2010s, where that line ran everything. They're going to build that line from the inside out. They're going to have that line solidified to protect Dak, to get that running game back to where it needs to go. And they also got some thickness on the other side to help stop that run when they inevitably face the Niners.
Who are you to think that you can just keep running it back? You trade out of the first round. I couldn't name a single person that they drafted, and you're going to bring Ezekiel Elliott back along with McCarthy still there. Cowboys regress this season, Brian, and the draft only confirms that. Next up, the Vikings.
Man, J.J. McCarthy. Worst quarterback in this draft. It's going to happen. You heard it here first.
Ditto. I agree. You got fleeced. You traded up to get J.J. McCarthy. Dude was hidden in college. Dude's going to flame out in the NFL. Next up, Brian, the Atlanta Falcons.
Listen to me. Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry. If this was a Kirk Cousins question, I would have said, but guess what? It's his Falcons. I think Kirk Cousins has one good year to put those guys in a position, let them know how this is supposed to be ran. And guess what? The Phoenix is taking over. Phoenix everywhere. Phoenix.
Two in a row, we're in agreement, Brian. I'm going to agree. They maybe shocked everybody by going with Phoenix there. But guess what? If I'm a fan of them, I'm not worried. Kirk Cousins goes down. I get to see what the kids got, ladies and gentlemen. They've got one of the most coveted things that teams need, which is an extra quarterback who could provide you value, right, that you don't need. Fans want that, because how many seasons have been derailed when you didn't have that quarterback to go to? Next up, Steelers.
Listen, Peyton Wilson, arguably the steal of the draft. Troy Fatanu, Zach Frazier, Roman Wilson. Listen, I'm telling you, the Steelers are building something special over there, and when you got 53 quarterbacks, you don't got one, but you still got 53 quarterbacks.
I don't care about Mike Tomlin and what this guy can do. You're relying on Danger Russ. That's a dangerous situation to be in. And Brian, coming up next, the Eagles. I think I know what you're going to say here.
The Eagles always play the draft like it is Madden. I get it. Somehow they keep getting these falling stars. But I will say this, the Eagles have yet to have a first round draft pick reach a Pro Bowl.
Did you see that draft room, Brian? Nick Sirianni's got everybody in the draft room believing we don't need to think about our ties. Not thinking about our ties leads to talent acquisition takeover, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling good about the Eagles this upcoming season. And last but not least, the Tennessee Titans, Brian. Ouch. Just a yawn there. I'm going to go, we're trading everybody away. We got Calvin Ridley in our number one draft pick. He's somebody that everyone's like, this guy's a stretch. And we're going to ask him to switch positions. Not feeling great. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our NFL draft coverage. Covering it. And you know who else is covering it every day, Brian?
Who's that?
Again, it's the show. They've moved on to now 2 live hours to cover all the action that's happening in the sports. You got the hockey playoffs. You got throwing in NASCAR, F1, and we're getting it all live. 2 hours live now for the playoffs. Are they going to go back to one? Or are they going to keep it the same? I don't know. You never know. This could stay the same. Brian, what are your thoughts? Do you love it? Hate it? Need more of it?
I thought you were about to say, do you love it or shove it? What? I absolutely love it. This is another thing akin to what I was mentioning earlier where Dan and Stu have to be okay with pumping some of that fake energy back into this. I know it's hard to do a 2-hour live show, especially with that ragtag bunch of guys and gals over there. But I digress. It is proven to be beneficial. It's restoring the feel and the vibe because we all know the live just brings something that the recorded segments don't. You mentioned earlier, is it something that they should keep? Listen, I think going forward, this current segment, for someone who only really watches the show on YouTube, having the live show 2-hour upload with the second half and a post game, maybe if you want it, that's the best way to do this. I've spoken to the fans. Wow. And one of our biggest complaints is it's so hard to track these episodes through the YouTube at times. And if this makes it easier for the video team to stay on top of stuff, I'm all for it. Nathan, after you tell us about how you feel about the 2-hour live, because I know you listen before you get ready for work, so I don't know if that's drifting over, you know, bleeding over into your regular life, but how do you also feel about the interactive stuff they've been doing with the in-between commercial segments as well?
You know, Brian, I hate it. 2 hours live, geez, that's just, it's too much. I got you. I love it. Like, now, before I start work, I've already consumed like 2/3 of the show almost. Like, absolutely love it. I catch a little bit of it live in the morning, and then I got to drop my kids off at their daycare. So I got to play their kids' songs while they're in the car. Then I flip back over to the Lebatard show, catch back up, and then I'm live with the show during that last hour leading up to 7:50 West Coast, when that's when I got to go pick up my students from the blacktop. So I love getting such a large chunk of the show in the morning. And I don't know, there's just something about catching it live. And again, like I've said this, and you've said this too, that YouTube is the best way to catch the show. Like, if you're going to catch it on YouTube, because you're going to see how people are reacting. You can better understand jokes that are being made, and you just enjoy more of the show when you're able to see the show and the fun they're having as they have the show. So now I'm catching even more of the show live. So it's just, it's been really enjoyable. And like the, I don't know, there's just, I think there's something about doing something live that it increases the energy, that you can feel the energy is up. And, you know, that abysmal place called the, even the Reddit out there is talking about how the show has been better since they've gone 2 hours. I think always been great again. Nasty Nate here, always thinking the show is great. But I love the 2 hours live. They cover so many of the topics. They've really covered that Tom Brady roast, you know, covered it hard. But
hard.
You mentioned something which I do enjoy too, is the throwback to the old segments, which now, like, you're not just looking at this cycle of shirts, and it's done a creative way with a chat vibe. Like, you're remembering some of these old segments with guests. Like, I love it, the Denzel Washington one. That's a classic of how, like, you know, that's one of your favorite things about the Levitard show, is when they're able to get a guest and they're able to, like, have them have fun with the show. And the Denzel Washington one is a prime example of that, where he's able to make fun of himself and go back and forth on virtuosity and just go with the flow of the show. Versus, like, I think they also had Joan Rivers as another one, which again is a interview that just completely flames out in the worst possible way, which is something that, as a fan of the show, we enjoy that too. We enjoy it when it's great, and we enjoy it where it's so bad it's great, right? So reliving some of those, it's really enjoyable. And I think it also gives the show, like, a little bit longer of a break to keep that energy up with being live for, you know, now twice as long. So I absolutely love the extra content that's in between and catching more of the show live.
You mentioned, so as someone who streams, right? I stream, I'm a streamer. And one of the cardinal sins in streaming is almost like a cardinal sin, same cardinal sin in radio. Never, ever, ever have dead air. And I get that it's a live show, but it always leaves me flummoxed that there hasn't been some way to put either Yeti songs, big game show songs, anything. Just,
no, they actually, I think they used to do that. It used to cycle through portions of the big game.
Yeah, when they were trying to get it
on the live stream.
When they were trying to get it nominated. But it's like, okay, then do it all the time. Y'all have such a large bank of audio where you can make those segments seem less like a drone. Because when you see the throwback segments with Denzel, when you see the Tony Tonight with him and Billy going to go find out about Cuban dominoes, like, when you see those types of segments, it just makes you feel like you're actually watching something, like you're watching a created, carefully cut masterpiece that is all segmented together and not like strewn together like compound bits of information. It's really jarring, is all. It's if commercials, when you watch your favorite TV show on a TV, not streaming, if every 12 minutes it just went to silence and random pictures of merch, you would probably not get through any of those TV shows. So I just wish that was something that they can do going forward, but I love it. I'm here for it. I also think it kind of pulls back those rose-colored glasses a bit to realize the show ain't really that much different in terms of how they at least handle guests. Isn't that much different than how it used to be. You know, everyone, oh my God, it was so much better in the past. It was so much better in the past. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you're far removed from it. I think if you listen to when you go from one of those segments and you hear how they talk to someone today, you're like, they still got it. The guys still got it, you know? They still got it. And speaking of still having it, last week we spoke about our man Greg Cody out here every day. I got to correct myself. I unsanctimoniously gave credit to Greg Cody's brother as the one who is feeding him all this content that he's stealing. I meant to say his father. My bad. I referred to in my brain, I was thinking of Wild Bill Cody as his brother and not his father. So that's just my correction there. But on the topic of Greg Cody, I feel like we got a back in the day today. Is that true, Nate? Nasty Nate, do we got a back in the day today?
We do, Brian. We've got a back in my day today, because we got to catch up to Greg Cody. He didn't do one this week, right? I think. Speed nope. Listener, can you see it's still 4-6. Now we're moving it to 5-6, Brian. So let me fire off this bread. I've got sandwiches on the mind, ladies and gentlemen. Let me.
When you said the dangerous, I wanted you to lift up your sandwich. I was waiting for the moment.
Oh, see, I should have saved it for then. See, I can't. I eat things too fast, Brian. So give me
we're doing it live.
Give me your best one. Here we go.
You're now listening to Back in My Day with Nasty Nate.
Connectivity. Back in my day, if I wanted to connect my headphones to a CD player or iPod, I needed to physically connect them. The satisfying click of that 3.5 millimeter jack sliding into its designated hole. You knew you were ready to go. Inevitably, though, you'd find your headphones getting tangled in mysterious ways, ripped, frayed. The jack and port relationship would become tenuous. The need for constant finagling to find just the right spot to bring you to sonic bliss. Enter the world of Bluetooth. Nowadays, everything is seemingly connected while not being connected. Now you can buy almost any device and have it be smart. Connected to your phone and ready to listen to your every beck and whim, just a swipe away. Need a deodorant stick that gives you a precise amount of deodorant with every swipe? They've got one. Or how about an egg tray that tracks your eggs and sends you a notification to buy more? Hell, they've even got a camera that locates mosquitoes and sends you their location. But not only are all our devices smart now, you also got to get them on the same platform so they can all be connected and interact with each other as one. And you might be saying, this sounds familiar with Greg Cody, but here's the difference. Apple, you are the worst of this. All your devices connected on the iSuite. Your phone talks to your Mac. Your AirPods remembered across all Apple devices you're logged into. This Uber connectedness leads to your supposed smart devices becoming quite dumb. Every time I'm at home, I need to connect my AirPods to my iPhone. I got to do it twice before they work because they're trying to connect to my Mac instead. And even then, I'll randomly be disconnected as I walk about the house far away from my computer and suddenly my podcast stops. Stop the connection with everything. So the next time I want to be taken to Sonic Bliss, I think I'll opt for the dumb way. Plug jack in hole, wait for the satisfying click, and be transported to an older time of listening where my ears get tugged on as the cord tangles and the ambiance of hearing every small jostle from a poorly insulated audio cable is added to my listening experience. I'm Nasty Nate. And that's how it was back in my day.
Phenomenal job, sir. Phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. And thank you for educating me on the existence of smart deodorants and
real.
Smart egg trays. I can't believe these are real things. I just looked them up and I was like, wow.
It? Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Amazon, they'd be here tomorrow if I wanted them.
Yeah. Get on
crazy
that.
World we're living.
It is crazy.
What is your biggest hindrance with the smart stuff? Is it the auto connection through multiple devices leading to accidental connections?
Yeah, that's what led me to write the back in my day, because it's just ridiculous. Like, I leave my Mac running to get those public watch hours, people, which we're getting close, by the way. So hopefully this problem won't last that much longer. But what that leads to is I'll put on my AirPods. I've got my phone right in front of me. My phone will say, you're connected to the AirPods, and I'll press play. And all of a sudden, even though I'm connected, my iPhone speakers start playing what I want to listen to. And I gotta hit disconnect, connect again, and now I'm actually connected. And then suddenly I'll be like walking around my house. I'll be on the other side of my house. I've already connected to my phone, and all of a sudden it'll disconnect and start playing off of the iPhone speaker because it switched me over to the Mac. It's just so frustrating. Like, Apple, I don't need to be connected to everything. Like, can my AirPods be like seen as, can my Mac be seen different as my computer so this doesn't keep happening, or whatever I meant to say? Can my phone be different than my computer? I've had this issue with also an iPad too, so I just never use my smartphone on any of those things. Frustrating, Brian. There's a bit of
hilarity in you doing a back in my day about electronic devices and referencing iPods. Like, that's where we're at now. That's where we're at. Speaking of being at a specific place, David Sampson was at a bunch of places across the nation. Our man David was on a wine tour in multiple locations, cities across this beautiful country of ours. Did he come anywhere near you?
No, I don't think he hit California.
Okay, he came Boston to New York, which actually made me kind of perturbed because his whole idea was talking about local sports and their relation to the town, the economics, the politics of running a sports town. He's famously known for screwing over an entire city when it came to funding. And I was like, how dare you? How dare you, David Sampson?
How dare you?
Through Hartford, Connecticut. Understand something, sir.
Unforgivable.
Hartford, Connecticut was teased as being a relocation for the New England Patriots, which forced Hartford to put together a plan called Adrian's Landing, which they actually started to build.
Landing it.
Unknowingly, we were just being used to snatch more money for Foxborough and their new version of Gillette Stadium. You could have spoke about that. You could have spoke about how we were robbed of our beloved Hartford Whalers to the point where I witness stolen valor every single hockey season when I see that detestful Carolina team rock those wonderful blue and green Hartford Whalers jerseys. You could have spoke about the Connecticut Sun doing business outside of a casino and the complications that might arise from that. There was a whole litany. The Hartford Yardgoats having the 18th time in a row most popular minor league baseball stadium in the country. You could have spoke about that. There was a bunch of things that you could have hit on.
And you know it.
But you decided to give us the good old bit-up. And now, but outside of that, have you seen any sort of feedback on any of his live shows outside of what we've seen on the show?
I've actually listened to a couple. I listened to his very first one, and I listened to the one with Pablo, and I do want to go back and listen to the one with Juju. I enjoyed the one with Pablo. The one that was like just him, it was like, I was like, oh man, it's even longer, 90 minutes, but secret thing here, I listened to David Sampson exclusively at 3.5 times speed because it's the easiest podcast to listen to at that speed because he's the only one talking. So you can just ramp that bad boy all the way up, Brian. And I knock his podcast out.
Secret.
I knock that podcast out.
That's survivability.
I knock it out in less than 15 minutes, baby. That thing, like, if I got to go to the grocery store, boom, David Sampson's podcast is done. So would I go see him live? If he was close enough, yeah. Would I travel?
What's close enough? Give me the mileage. How many miles is the cutoff for David Sampson to be close enough for you? Fresno?
No, Fresno, actually.
The Valley?
LA, Los Angeles. He's got to come somewhere in Los Angeles, and it depends where in Los Angeles because of the traffic, right? If he's going down to Orange County, like Los Angeles or Anaheim, Los Angeles, I don't know if I'm going that far.
You got to get through LA to get
like
through.
They're
Yeah, that's not
there's just some places where, like, if you're telling me he's going to Anaheim, I know traffic's inevitable, right? So got to factor that in. I would definitely go see him. But I think it'd be an interesting show because it's 90 minutes of him just talking sports. I enjoy listening to him. I think he's informative. I think he brings a unique perspective and explains things really well. Like, something he explained really well was the most recent Marlins trade that helped me understand all the different aspects of it and why it maybe wasn't the best trade. But I would see him live if, stipulation, he's got to be close enough. What's close enough? I maybe can't give you a specific mileage. I'm not going to
give me a time. How much time in your car then?
In my car. It's got to be like 2 hours max. If it tips, if it tips the 2 hour scale, if it's 2 hours or more, I'm not going. That's too far.
He should take that as a compliment, because that's 2 hours from me. 2 hours from me right now gets me to Boston or gets me to New York City.
Yeah, this is California. So, we do things a little bit different out here, Brian.
Yeah, clearly. Listen, you mentioned something being inevitable. And I can't be the only one that's feeling like it's inevitable that we're going to see a fresh face holding up this year's Larry O'Brien trophy. How do you feel about what's going on currently in the NBA playoffs? For those that don't know, by the time we're taping this, the Nuggets are down 2-0. The Knicks, I'm predicting it, are in an even series.
Ooh, prediction.
1-1 with the Pacers.
But we don't know that. Could be 2-0.
No. Up here.
Brian knows it, folks.
The Mavs.
I see it in his
the
eyes.
The Mavs are in a tied series with OKC. The Celtics are also in a tied series. Yeah, you heard me.
You can see that sphincter tightening, can't you, Brian? That Boston sphincter.
In the words of the claimed and famed Bo Monty Jones, they got some lemon booty.
You know, Brian,
Celtics got some lemon booty.
I got to jump in real quick about Boston, because here's a question no one's talking about. They talk about the Celtics, and no one's bringing this up. Everyone thinks that the Celtics have a great chance to win a title. But my question is, can you win a title when Derek White is your number one player, or do they need to get this guy some more help?
Is Jason Tatum still being outplayed by Derek White at this point? I know he was a couple games ago.
I mean, you look at those last 3-4 games there, who's their number one? Are the Celtics good enough if Derek White's their number one player, Brian?
Real questions.
No one's saying it, but we're saying it here at the Fan Lebatard Show. My answer, no. Getting boat raced by the Western Conference if Derek White's your best player.
And honestly, as it doesn't pain me to say it, because I have no skin in this race, that Minnesota team seems absolutely terrifying. I've never seen so many damn pterodactyls on one team. Absolutely. I've been watching the Nuggets this season the way I used to watch the Warriors, where it's just such good basketball. Every game you see people do things where you're like, wow, Jokic, you're amazing. Jamal Murray, you hit that shot crazy. Aaron Gordon, you're so vicious.
He's not and as accurate with a heating Minnesota, pad, though.
Hey, seeing this Minnesota team absolutely stymie the champions has me looking like, yo, and guess what? When the oldest player on your team is Mike Conley, and then it's like a 8-year gap from that, that Minnesota team, taking us back to our heyday, good buddy Vincent Goodwill mentioned on the Bomani show today that team looking a lot like early Lakers, the 2000 Lakers, 2001 Lakers, a lot of size, except now everyone's 7'2". So look out for it. Who do you got at this point taking it? If you had to make it now, if you had to bet all your Dijon covered sandwiches on one team to take it at this point, who are you betting those sandwiches on?
I mean, it's who you just said, Brian. It's Minnesota. Ant's got that look in his eyes. Last series, he dunked so hard, Kevin Durant became a Minnesota Timberwolf next season. He dunked so hard on KD, he became a Timberwolf. His Phoenix Sun soul left his body. They've got that look in their eyes. They don't even need Rudy to show up to roll over them. They've embarrassed the defending champs in those first two games and have flummoxed them. It's got to be them if you have to pick somebody. I mean, OKC did look good, but Chet, can Chet stand up to those two tall towers? I don't know. Chet, a little, he's looking good, but a little slim Chet.
Bro, Nas Reed in there, I feel like it's three. Mm-hmm. It's Twin Towers in the Empire State Building.
Yeah, and
I like what they're doing over there.
Boston, look, Boston was the one that a lot of people were talking about this sort of season, but again, Derek White's your number one. You don't even know if Porzingis is going to come back. If you don't have Porzingis, like, they're going to get eaten up by whoever comes out of the West right now.
And I think what's going to happen to them is kind of what's always happened to them.
Yeah.
They haven't really been challenged by this unique archetype, and they're going to get to the point where their first actual challenge against a team that can produce on both sides of the ball is going to be in a series where you cannot afford to drop a game to find that out. And that's going to be in the NBA Finals. And then next year, they're going to have to blow it all up and get Derek White some motherfucking help.
Are the Knicks doing something special, Brian?
They're doing something special in a sense that they're making New York care. They're making New York matter. That sounds like a political ad for visiting New York. But whenever you can tap in to the New York ooze that proliferates this entire world, you are doing something special. And Jalen Brunson being able to do that in that little 5'11 koala bear shaped frame of his is, listen, every single time I see him do something amazing, I get absolutely pissed and upset that a bunch of teams didn't make a harder push to get him out of Dallas.
Yeah, I think
they're only going to get better. They got so much money next year.
I mean, Brunson, 440 point games in a row. Like, you got the Villanova connection of those three guys, but it also feels like things are going to come crashing down eventually. You hope. Honestly, I like seeing, like, New York. I feel like it does add excitement. It would be the most exciting for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I am rooting for them to get past Indiana, even though I like them. They're a young team. Hopefully they can add some pieces to that. But you, again, going back to cheap seats, you saw the problem in Indiana. You don't have a solid number one. That game got late, and you're going to Nimbard. I can't even really
spell that.
I don't even know.
Spell it. I can't even say it.
Nimbard. I think that's right. Maybe there's an H in there somewhere. But actually, wait. No,
silent T.
There is Nim. Actually, I don't know. But that's who you're going to. Like, they got to get Haliburton, a guy that he can dish to that can score. It's a good team, but they need more. But New York, I mean, honestly, I love it. I watch the games also because it's exciting. Like, that team is gritty, and it just seems like every single game they play, like, they're one, they're never out of it. They're going to battle back and, like, get back into the game. But I also get the feeling that at some point the wheels are going to come off, that they've maxed out, like, everything they've gotten to. And whether that's the Eastern Conference Finals or if they pull off what would be pretty amazing, the finals, the wheels are going to come off in one of those places. And it'll be a great run, but that's another team. Like, they got to get one more piece to get them over there. Cause Minnesota, man,
there's such a weird thing happening in the East right now where every single team that seems to be succeeding on the back of facing teams that are either broken or missing something because they're broken.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's distorting my view. Remember how I mentioned this on the last episode? I said, are we getting good basketball because we have two really amazing A-tier teams? Or do we just have two B-minus teams that are so equally matched, they're giving each other enough opportunity to make the game exciting? And that's going to do a disservice on the next round to somebody. obviously we're assuming the Knicks are going to fall flat because how are you going to stop Derek White?
Yeah, how?
You don't stop Derek White. And then that's going to translate into the following round, the finals, where the West goes, nah, East Coast, we do this different over here. And they end up busting their ass. Before we wrap this up, though, and get out of here, I do want to take some time to send salutes and shout outs to our ladies in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to get those chartered flights. It's crazy that we're at this point where we got to kind of treat that as something that's an accomplishment, but it is. And I hope going forward that this is the start to them getting what should be a very reasonable and very livable salary bump in their salaries in the next contract bargaining agreement. Salute to them. They all deserve it. They deserve to be safe. They deserve to not have to deal with idiot fans. They deserve to have more time practice. Because think about it. If you got chartered flights, that's less time waiting in a damn terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more time at facilities, putting in work. Shout out to Angel Reese. She was doing a damn thing in the preseason. Shout out to Caitlin Clark. She's doing it. She's doing it. I'm letting you know right here, right now, though, Indiana Fever, you're going to start 0-1 because the Connecticut Sun is busting that ass.
Ooh.
Start of the season. Let it be known. Set it here first. Disney Plus, you can check it out. Double open header. Disney Plus, starting the season.
Yeah.
WNBA.
I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be watching
women's sports.
We're going to be talking WNBA because you know what I
live
did?
Stream?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe a live stream. That might not be a bad idea. But you know what I did, Brian? Juju mentioned it. He said their league pass is only, he said $24. It's actually $34. But still, that's compared to other league passes. You know what I did, Brian? I bought the WNBA league pass today because it was so cheap. I'm like, I'm going to support this league. I'm going to watch it more because it's been exciting. And I'm signed up. We're going to talk more WNBA. And just like David Sampson said also on his podcast today, it's not that hard to hit subscribe. So come on, fans, hit subscribe, right? It's not that hard to click that button. So in honor of David Sampson, on our way out here, can I get a subscribe on three? 1, 2, 3, subscribe. 1, 2, 3, subscribe.
How about this? If it's so easy, David Sampson can do it. You don't want to be upstaged by David Sampson.
Wow. Come on, Brian. Right? It's not that hard.
Can we get a I'm better than David on three? 1, 2, 3. I'm better than David. And prove it by hitting that subscribe button. Smash, like, share, comment, tell your friends, interact with the show. Listen, opening season, opening day, Tuesday, May 14th. Go support women's sports. Women's sports is all sports, and we here for it. That is another episode of the Fan Le Batard Show, the only Dan Le Batard Show dedicated podcast.
We out.
Dipset.